his hat fits a lot better than Bruno's hat did on the stage. I'm looking at both the posters right now side by side. That was a real fun night, though, to be at the Opry. Year one was, it was so new, and we had such amazing support from the country music industry. A lot of our fans were season ticket holders. You know, I remember Barbara Mandrell, and she was very involved, and Tim McGraw, and Vince Gill, and anything that you needed, they were on board to help out, and that made that first season very special.
Moore, an original member of the Predators, says country music was a big part of why those original Preds got so close.
One that stands out in my mind off the ice, it was our year-end team party, our get-together that we had. It was held at Tom and Carrie Fitzgerald. Fitzy was our captain that season. Our year-end get-together before everybody, you know, departed and went their own ways was we had probably five or six country music singers who came and showed up. And by the end of the night, we were sitting around a bonfire, and they all had their guitars out playing. It was a fantastic night. Barbara Mandrell was there. There were some singers, or songwriters rather, that had just wrote some big hits for Garth Brooks, some number one hits. Brian Kennedy had just done some big hits for Garth. Dina Carter sat around and sung Strawberry Wine. That's what brought everybody together. I mentioned earlier about how involved the country music folk were in our season. But they all came together at the end and thanked the team for having such great memories.
The first game was one of a kind. October 10th, 1998. Former winger Denny Lambert tells us about that first night.
Well, it was unbelievable because the first thing is I was never drafted into the NHL, so me getting drafted by Nashville was such an honor because it was the first time ever being drafted. And then to come in here and play in this arena in front of these fans that really didn't know a lot about hockey, but they just cheered for everything, and it was loud, so it was an awesome time. We really enjoyed it, and my full year was awesome here.
Original Preds defenseman J.J. Daigneau on game number one.
I think for us on the ice, it was just another game. Obviously, there was a lot of excitement built around the city with the new team coming to town, but I think where you could feel it the most is in the stands. I think the fans were excited to see their new team on the ice. And obviously, there's some growing pains when you're an expansion team. We had a team under Barry Trotz that competed every night, that worked hard, and never gave up. But I think the biggest excitement for us, was just business as usual. We played our game, we're prepared. But you could see that there was a lot of excitement in the stands.
Cliff Ronning would lead those Predators in points in their inaugural season. But he was not a member of the team in the beginning. He was traded from the Phoenix Coyotes in early November and remembers the first thing he noticed about the home crowd in Smashville.
Well, year one, I'll never forget my first game. Everyone had headphones on, and I'm asking a couple of players, why do all the fans have headphones on? They were trying to explain what icing was, I remember, I guess the best experience was I skated up to center ice and took a slap shot to dump it in on the goalie, and everyone stood up thinking that it might go in. And I was like, wow, this is going to be a fun place to play. So from then on, it was just the fans are spectacular here. And I think all the players realized that early on, that the fans were the best part of the whole thing.
Two current members of the Predators coaching staff were members of that original team, skills coach Sebastian Bordalo and head coach Andrew Brunette.
That's pretty awesome. That was a real fun year to play here that first year. The electricity in the whole city, you felt you're a part of something bigger than hockey, for the most part. So to see those guys would be a lot of fun. You see them. I've been fortunate enough to be in the game, and a lot of them still are in the game, so I see them over the courses of different hockey seasons. But to see them honored is pretty cool.
Denny Lambert was Brunette's roommate on the road in that inaugural season.
Our first year, we were on the road. Well, our roommates on the road. So it was, it was great. I played with him in Atlanta, obviously, so I knew him better too. Even Barry, I talked to Barry once in a while. David Poyle, I call him. So we keep in touch, and that's what I mean about the culture that they built here from day one is, it's a lot of talking about family and caring about each other and always keep it up, and that's what we did, and that's what I feel the best about this organization.
Would you believe that Bruno would become an NHL head coach if I told you in 1999?
You know what? He loves the game. So if you would have told me that, I would have said he's got a good chance because he is a student of the game. He loves sports. He loves football, baseball. He studies like everything and he loves it. And just talking hockey with him last night, there's no question that he's a head coach and he deserves to be here.
Brunette spent time with his Preds teammates last night and told us how he expects them to welcome him back to Smashville now as the head coach.
Well, probably making fun of me. I hope. It's fun to see them. I've been so fortunate in my hockey career to be around great people, and they're as good as it gets, and we had a lot of fun together, and to see them is always awesome.
All joking aside, it is special that these guys are back, many of whom, like Brunette, played just one season for the team, but they're part of something big here.
Well, I think that speaks great organizations do. They make you, if you wear their jersey, you always feel you're part of them. And I think the Predators do as good as anybody. And, I'm honored to put a jersey on, even if it was just for a first year. And they've always made you, right from Mr. Poyle all the way down, made you feel you're part of it. As quick as you were, if it was a year, if it was 5 years, you always felt that you had an imprint on his organization. And as a player, I think that's a little bit why we play, too.
Original Preds defenseman Dan Kesmer tells us about how the Predator way was instilled from day one and what that meant to the players.
A lot of the things that I didn't experience with other organizations because they were already well established, integrity, moral-based, family-based, work ethic. The first 2 years that I can comment on, my experience was you didn't have a real good core group of talented players so much because you're everybody's leftovers. But Trotsky really established those tangibles of humanistic sides of the game. And it said, look, if we're going to win games, we got to outwork the opposition because we don't necessarily have what everybody calls is the talent. And I remember, even in practices, I came here from Dallas, and Dallas's practices were uniquely different because you only had to do a run through to warm up. Practices here were very vigorous because you had to establish that work ethic and conditioning where you had so much talent in Dallas that you didn't need that. So to equal the talent levels, you had to outwork the opponent. So that's what I remember, my first experience, because I was used to, 20, 25-minute easy walk through practices. I got here and it felt like I was in a freaking, Soviet Red Army. So, which was good. I needed that because I wasn't talented. And, the only way I established one game in the NHL is to try and outwork my, competition. So it was a good fit.
David Legwand is in the building amongst the original Preds today, though he played just one game that first season. He made his NHL debut in April of 1999 in the season finale after playing a lengthy junior season after the Preds took him second overall in the summer before their debut season.
Just the camaraderie with the guys. It was a young team. It was, Barry's first couple of years in the league, and everyone's figuring everything out, and they created a foundation and a culture, and that stuck with this franchise forever, I think, and that's one of the main building blocks of the Nashville Predators way and what David and Barry and the whole group created.
Cliff Ronning joined the team a month into that inaugural season, but became a leader on a team that he was very impressed with their tight-knit nature.
When I played here, my role is really I was one of the older players and more established, I guess, after playing in 94 with the Canucks in the finals. So I think my role is really to try to bring players along and obviously being a smaller player, if they saw a smaller player going in the corners and working hard and trying to bring the work ethic up, and I think that's something that was my role, and I was very fortunate. We had great teammates, you know, of all the teams I played on, this is one place that my family always talks about how much they loved, not only the fans, but the players. We're very close, and Captain Fitzgerald really kept everyone close, and he was a very good leader for us, and it was a lot of fun.
One important member of the inaugural Predators is no longer with us, and Ronning wanted to make sure we knew how special the late Greg Johnson, who passed away in 2019, was.
Yeah, I mean, Greg Johnson, you know, had one of the best games I've ever seen any player play against Detroit that night on that stormy winter night. And it's always sad when you see someone pass away that you played with, and especially him. He was a very quiet, all about the team first guy, and that was a sad day for all of us when we found out.
The late Greg Johnson will be honored next month on Captain's Night at Bridgestone Arena, and we hope that his widow and other members of his family are able to join us to honor the late Greg Johnson, who passed in 2019 and was a key member and captain of those early Preds. Defenseman J.J. Daigneau tells us what the move to Smashville meant to his family in the inaugural season.
For me, I was moving here with my wife and two young daughters, and well, we established ourselves in Franklin, and it was just the people were just kind. People around us in the community, people were very, very kind. So it was easy for us to make the move and implement ourselves in a nice neighborhood, and then go to work every day and meet your new teammates.
Some of those year one Preds never left. Of course, our man Jay Moore is on radio with us every night at home. Defenseman Dan Kesmer fell in love with Nashville and made it a part of the rest of his life.
The reason I stuck around here is because I was completely off base in my perception of what this place was to begin with. And I remember that all started, you know, when they announced that the Predators were getting an expansion team in Nashville. And to a guy throughout the NHL, I think everybody thought it was a huge mistake. Because growing up, nobody ever played hockey in Nashville. You always, if you're American, you go to Chicago, Boston, Detroit, New York. And if you're Canadian, you hit all the hotbed cities there. So nobody had ever played hockey as a kid here in Nashville. So I thought it was a bunch of hillbillies and that it was going to be kind of a short-lived experience until I got here. And once I understood the dynamics of the place that I was living, it was a place that, you know, there's a reason why I'm here 25 years later. In the movies, you see, you know, when people from out of town move into a neighborhood in the South, you get a knock on the door and people bring you brownies and cookies and cakes. And your initial impression is like, okay, what do you want? It's real. It's genuine because people are nice. So with all those things put together, when I retired, I had the option to go back to Michigan or stay here. And there was no way I was gonna leave here because it was such a great place.
So the inaugural Preds are in the building. One of them, Andrew Brunette, is the bench boss and the original broadcaster of the Preds, the voice of the Preds, Pete Weber. Asked Bruno this morning, are any of these guys going to suit up?
Now, you have some of your original Predators teammates here in town now. Are you going to draft any of them for the game?
never know. I'll let you know after the first, Pete.